CMN Network. This is the CMN Network, MI3. CMN Network, 220.
KD9UMI.
CMN Network, MI3.
KD9UMI.
MI3 Network.
KD9UMI. KD9UMI. KD9UMI.
CMN Network. This is the CMN Network, MI3.
KD9UMI.
CMN Network, 220.
KD9UMI. KD9UMI.
CMN Network, MI3. MI3 Network.
KD9TGC Mobile. KD9TGC Mobile.
KD9VXF on the side listening.
CMN Network.
KD9VXF signing off.
KD2VFW Mobile.
This is the CMN Network, MI3. CMN Network, 220.
KCIMI. K9PGC9 on the line. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing today? Such a fine day, I decided I had to go for a bike ride.
Doing good. Yeah, it was beautiful out today, 88 degrees. So how's the back feeling? Better?
Yeah, I got problems with that right side. I felt great. I'm in LaPorte. Basically, my all-time record to where I ended up at. But I'm doing some stretches because getting that on my feet, I'm like, oh, well, not quite as good as I thought. Do some stretches, I'm starting to feel a bit better. And that right side there. Supposed to meet some other bikers today, cyclists, and either running late or I was told to show up to the wrong place. We'll find out. But, from my house to Al's in LaPorte, it took me 50 minutes. And it probably could have been a little bit quicker. I took a shortcut at one point that didn't turn out to be a shortcut. I had to circle around and get out at that little area did not have an outlet where I thought it would be. Not necessarily a subdivision, but you call it that.
CMN Network, MI3.
Yeah, copy that. No, that's good. No, I'm just sitting in the house. Not the house, my apartment, but... No, I'm talking on my HT through one of my DMR networks. So it seems to be working. I didn't think it was working.
Well, it is. So, you know, at least you know that. I admit there's sometimes I'm talking and there's nobody on the other end, but yeah, either way, it's working. It's a two-way conversation, right?
Oh, yeah, it's working. Plus, my radio keeps letting me know that there's an air quality alert, so I get weather statements on this thing. It's a new HT I just bought. My other one burned up in the fire, so I finally broke down and got to the point where I wanted to use my DMR stuff, so I figured I'd pick up something cheap just to get me by until I get the house rebuilt.
Copy that. Yeah, I'm getting that... that same air quality alert, and I'm asthmatic. What's wrong with this picture? Well, I tell you, especially since I've been hitting it hard on the bike the last 8 years, I really don't know what asthma is. It's the way that's all working out for me.
Yeah, that's what they don't tell you. A little bit of exercise goes a long way. No, I had that same problem, too. When I first started riding, I couldn't ride very far because I was an ex-smoker, and then over the years, it's just cleaned up very nice for me.
Hey, copy that. Yeah, they say if you do nothing, just quit smoking, just in a year's time, there's a big difference. And, of course, the exercise got to be a wow factor in there. And, you know, that was the funny thing. I had so much blood work and stuff done to me last year. As the doctor says, you know, your lungs, the blood work, you know, if you said you put anything, any time in the middle, I would think you were a liar or you were an office jockey. And it's like, you know, I had to make the joke. I go, I got 34 years of being in the dirt. And especially this one neurologist, she's just like, wow. You know, you got to be doing something right.
Yeah, it's especially where you work. Their quality is not good any day there.
Yeah, it's like how I handle myself. I should use the dust mask more often. I do use it. So, there you go. You know what I mean? And I still have that suspicion at times that, since I've always been athletic, that I may be, some of this exercise is actually purging my lungs clean. Yeah, it's as good a theory as anything else.
No, I hear you. Yeah, no, it's, yeah. Especially as we get older, it gets tougher. I don't care what anybody says, you know. But, no, so you're, where you at in La Porte, and which way did you take there?
Oh, I ran up Johnson Road, then I hit Seavers Road, and it's how I got to Seavers Road to Al's. That's a little hard to explain because normally I go past Fox Park. Well, I sort of veered to the left and tried to, you know, cut a little bit off, and I still end up a little bit shy of where I wanted to be, but, you know, so couple city blocks on the Lincoln Way, and boom, I was there, you know. But yeah, the this bicycling club I joined, the president told me, sent me a text when Wednesday's ride would be. It'd be funny if they all ended up somewhere else, and he got it wrong. Oh well, but I figure anybody that's doing this ride today from that club is probably going to ride into the parking lot where we're at. But, yeah, either way, I'll get a nice ride in today and leave it as that. But yeah, I did that nice climb up to the Summit Farm. And I actually knocked at least a minute, no more than 2 minutes off my time to get there. And that's basically a 500-foot climb from the I-94 overpass to the Summit Farm.
I think I know what you're talking about. And yeah, that'd be, I don't know. Yeah, I could do it, but I ain't setting no world records. But, no, I haven't ridden that far in a while. I haven't ridden for a while ever since my neck surgery, but... I can ride still, so I'm definitely going to break that out here pretty soon. Matter of fact, the bike's easy to get out right now, so. And then the one with the motor, you know, that one's easy to get out too, so that one, I've been on that one already this year.
Yeah, now sooner or later I may have to get the motorcycle out and see how well I can handle that. But as it stands, I think I'm doing. I got a little brain fog at the moment. I had something come through my head and then just went blank. But yeah, either way the game goes, it's like I go on about how well the bike's been treating me this last year or so. So I can't give up on that. But yeah, it just bugs me a little bit if I got my signals crossed for tonight, but at least it's a good day that, hey, it won't be a wasted trip for me. The one joke I have to tell you, right across the street where I'm sitting is one of those mobile taco stands. It's like, well, I'm almost thinking, you know, I can ruin my day of eating healthy by just crossing the street and going over there, and that would probably make more than a well worth trip.
Copy that. Yeah, there's a food truck in La Porte. A lot of us guys like to go to when we're working, and that's my friend Tacos, I believe it is, and I think I did stuff there. That's a good one. I like that one.
Hey, copy that. This is Tacos La Costina. And I have to try them out sometime. Today may not be the day, but, you know, oddly enough, I did bring my wallet with me. What I didn't do is bring my house key with. I should have no problem when I get home, but I know the girls went out shopping when I left. So, I knew I forgot something going out the door. I had everything packed, everything set, and I lost 15 minutes I didn't really want to lose, you know. And it was just, like I said, one of those weird things on what I done did. But that's all right. I got enough supplies on board that I could have a picnic right now, you know. And I always make the joke that I may start riding on an empty stomach, but I don't have an empty stomach by the time I'm done riding. CV9MLN, KE9PGC.
KE9PGC, KE9MLN. Yeah, no, well, if you got storage on that bike, you can always, you know, get a couple to go and then, you know, maybe take them for lunch tomorrow.
This is true. I've got some room in that bag. I think those tacos would get crushed. But, hey, I can get soft shell. I've got some extra gear on board in case it got chilly if I was out here. Because the original idea was the ride was going to last about 2 hours, and I'd be going home, you know, right around sundown. And I wouldn't have killed myself going home, but I got all the extra lighting with me. And, I picked up something I haven't tried out yet. I got a set of arc lights. They're called pedals. And so the pedals light up, and no matter how you spin them and stand on them, forward is always going to be white, and to the rear is going to be red.
Nice. I have one light on there, just a headlamp. No, I do have a tail light too, a flashing one on the back. But that's it. That's just so. Because some of them guys in them trails, like I usually ride the bike trails. Them guys come flying up on you sometimes. They're fast. They got some really fast bikes.
Yeah. Well, I do a pretty good job of being lit at night. And there's a guy I rode alongside. There's a couple people that I have that. But this one gentleman, his unit worked out really good. Anyway, the taillight has built-in radar. And the audible alert, you can have an idea what's behind you and how fast it may be approaching, stuff like that. So I did a ride a couple Sundays ago at 69 miles. And it was really neat, because some of that he detected before I could even see it in my mirrors. And it may be a while before I get something like that, but yeah, that was pretty neat.
Yeah, that would be pretty neat. I would just like to see it. Probably expensive. It's probably, you know, I don't ride that far, so I don't know if I would ever need something like that, but that sounds pretty cool.
Various prices. The cheapest I've seen is like $37. But this one was a Garmin, so it's like $150. And it coordinates into a whole lot of other accessories. But it also changes what the taillight does, the flash rate. So the closer the car gets, the faster that taillight will flash. And they even have, for a little more money, they have one with a built-in camera. So upon approach, the camera turns on for evidence before they hit you.
Interesting. Sounds pretty nice. I do have some Garmin accessories on mine because I was riding during the winter. I got one of those stationary wheel mounts, and I was riding in this. So I have a sensor on the rear wheel and on the swing arms or the pedal area. And it's pretty neat. It syncs to an app on my phone, and even out in the real world, it'll, you know, track you the whole way and do the whole nine yards, average speed, what your pedal rate was. So that was kind of a nice feature I added.
Now, I had a little brain fog on about me, but there's two guys I rode with Monday. One guy, and out of the four, two of them had radar, right? And at one point, the radar didn't work for either one of them. For some reason, the two modules were trying to communicate with each other, or at least pairing up with the other guy's phone. And they were Garmin. I know they got some age to them, you know. That means anything. But it was just sort of funny. But the one guy I was riding with, Ed, I kept on telling him we got a vehicle behind us. And he goes, I don't see anything. And he took his mirrors off the bike. He's been relying on that radar. Well, if it wasn't for me, he would have been Mr. Magoo for that whole ride.
89, you are mine.
Go ahead, Tom. Pick it up. Casey, I am all in the group for John.
Coming at you through Echolink. I just turned it on to see if anybody was on here, so I'll get in the group and go after John, I guess.
Hi, Tom.
Hello, hello. Go ahead, MLN.
Uh-oh. They're closing alert.
Hey there, Mike. How you doing?
I'm okay. I'm trying not to inhale. We got an air quality alert. So don't inhale.
Doug, you still out there? I think it's Doug that was on there.
Yeah, I'm still out here. Over to you, John.
Yeah, nobody talking. Did I run everybody off?
Well, I was waiting for John to chime back in.
Maybe you ran off.
Yeah, it's possible. Maybe he got a phone call or a text or something. I know he did say he forgot his house key. So. Anyway. No, I'm trying to find the name of something, but I'm going to have to bail out of here anyway. I think they got a net tonight, and I got supper coming my way. So I'm going to have to say 7-3. If I don't catch you later on the net, I'll see you guys in the morning. Keep your night, Emily.
Three, Doug. You have a good one. Keep your night, you or Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, 7-3, Doug. Catch you later. Isn't that okay? I don't know, maybe I chased everybody off of my bad weather report there, huh?
Well, I had a fight with some concrete today. Concrete won. I lost my footing in the driveway, and I went to catch my balance on the car. The car was wet, so there was no grip on the car. And I went down, and my face planted on the driveway.
Oh, my goodness. So then did you autograph it?
Well, my eye hit the concrete, and it's swollen shut now. So I can't do any driving until swelling goes down and I'm able to put my glasses on.
Oh, no. What, you done with the week anyway?
Yeah, Wednesday's usually my last day, so I didn't get to Uber today. Monday I didn't Uber because it was a holiday and my wife was home. So I just Ubered yesterday. And it's going to be a short week unless swelling goes down enough that I can drive tomorrow.
No, grab me a steak out of the freezer and put over your eye.
Oh, yeah, keep an eye on it, as much as possible, anyway.
Good grief. Well, is the driveway fixed or not?
Well, I'm joking around, and I'm saying, you know, too many dad jokes, and my wife gave me a right hook. And she's got a mean right hook.
Oh, man. We were joking around out here last night about wives. I used to tell my wife, go make me a sandwich here, woman.
Yeah, I'm sure she didn't like that too much.
Oh, man. Well, it never worked. I tried it a couple of times, but it never worked.
Yeah, I'm sure it didn't.
Are you going to be out here for the net?
I'm not quite sure. It just depends on what I'm going to be doing.
I got to take off here for a bit, but try to make it out here in the net there. What do you think?
Yeah, if I happen to do by the radio or by the echo link, I may be on.
Okay, well, man, I hope you heal up pretty quick, Kurt. You can get back to work and whatever. But I'll catch you later. KD9UMI9OKA. Later, 73s.
Well, I'm supposed to help my brother-in-law this weekend, so hopefully it goes down. He needs me to pull a trailer for him.
MI3 Network.
K9PGC back on the bicycle.
KD9UMI.
I guess I'm not riding with the group tonight. Actually, the club president gave me the wrong meeting place, so. Oh, well. That would add another 2 hours on what I already be riding. But it's a nice night anyway. So I haven't figured out how scenic I'm going to ride home to.
Are you in the board? Where was the meeting place at?
Well, the text said, and the funny thing is, the guy I just talked to that called me, he was wondering where I was at because he thought I was going to be coming. And I go, hey, Heisman Park, maybe? I think he said they started out with, but they're too far out. I said, don't wait for me. And, I was at Al's parking lot, to which my text told me. So why do I get one text, and the other guy has got a different one?
Al's in Michigan City or LaPorte?
LaPorte, and I got my all-time record. 50 minutes, exactly, to make the Al's from my house, and I actually got detracted off of the beaten path. I thought I could do a small shortcut, and the little neighborhood I went through didn't have an outlet. I still came up with a little bit better path, but, whoops.
So how many miles did that end up being from your house?
That would be like 13 and a half miles.
Yeah, my guess was pretty close. I was guessing about 12.
Yeah, that climb to get up to the Summit Farm, I shaved something between a minute and 2 minutes off my time, you know. Then I get over I-94 there on Johnson Road, and I start going into a headwind. Because for the most part, that should have been a tailwind, even though I didn't notice anything. And where I'm at right now, I am feeling the headwind for the way back.
Yeah, I was wondering what route you were going to be taking. Kind of figured maybe Johnson Road, but I was trying to think from your house how you would catch Johnson Road. Would you take the boulevard?
No. No, since I was, you know about where I live there, so I just went through Trail Creek, you know, pick up Cool Spring, to head to Johnson Road, and then right turn and head south.
Yeah, you're over by the church there. I forget what the name of the church is, but yeah, I've been right around by you a few different times.
I copy that. I once called it the Church of Never-Ending Donations, because we had a priest that was shaking some of the senior people down. That wasn't nice of him.
Well, I don't think you were on when I told Mike about my belt with concrete today.
Oh, yeah, I was a little rude there, but had to take care of the phone call, you know, and got that, where are you at? But, oh well. I was so looking forward to put all the time in today, you know. That's a disappointing thing, whether I make it a quick run home or a short run or, you know what I mean? You know, the nice thing is I do get a good ride in.
Yep, I understand the feeling. We're yet to take our bikes out. Weather hasn't cooperated either, temperature-wise or wind-wise or whatever.
But, oh well. Well, I got some new pedals in that I can try out later. Just came in today. They light up. So when I do the night rides, I can be a little extra visible. And no matter how you spin the pedal, okay, it'll always point the white light forward and the red light to the back. You know, multicolor LEDs, but it's really slick how it works out. They had that 25% off sale, and I thought to myself, for a lot of these evening rides I do, this is added safety besides being a novelty.
Well, certainly the more visible you can make yourself, the better, especially if you're on the road. You get the chance, take Lakeshore Drive and Weller. They got those two paved, and we're kind of chomping at the bit to take those trails and find out how the road is.
Lakeshore Drive and what road?
Weller. From our house, we could take Weller down to Craven Pond Drive. Craven Pond Drive around Stone Lake, and Stone Lake to Clear Lake, Clear Lake to Chesty Trail, and then Chesty Trail, turn back around and take it in reverse, but too steep of a climb to go up Craven Drive, so we take Lakeshore Drive over to Small Road over to Second back to Weller, and then Weller back home.
I copy that. Yeah, I'm a bit familiar with it. I don't know why you're saying Lakeshore Drive, because I know I heard Weller, but hey, I got some wind in my ears anyway. But, oh boy. But anyway, that's, yeah, I know that area because there's a trail I pick up off of Weller for doing the, for one route that I do to get back to Johnson Road. And, because I'm on 200 North right now. Neat. And but anyway, But yeah, that's one of them corridors that I come out of Cummins Lodge, and I and whatever we call that road, I always forget it. And I take that, you know, straight to the toll road, hang a right turn, and hello, Johnson.
Yeah, when we go around Stone Lake, that's our turnaround point is Cummins Lodge, and then we go back the other way and then work on over to Clear Lake. Like I said, Clear Lake to the other path, and then, you know, we got a certain area that, you know, a certain trail that we run, and it ends up being about 12 miles.
Hey, copy that. Yeah, Sears Road here is getting a little busy. In a way, I'm not surprised, but I actually would expect it to be in the opposite direction for where I'm at.
Well, we might have been able to ride tonight if I didn't do a face plant this morning.
Oh, boy. Anyway, a little brain fog for where I'm at the moment here. I have to apologize on that. You know, I only got one headphone, so at times the noise around me does just shoot through to me where I hear and I can't think. And unfortunately, that's what just happened.
Got a couple new radios off of Amazon. They're FRS radios, so that way my wife and I can communicate while we're cycling.
Cool. I admit I got something wired that I had to modify to make this stuff work as well as it does. But I was actually looking at a pair of the Shots. Those are those bone type headphones, but they have one with a boom mic, noise canceling mic. And I thought, ooh, that could be great for if I bought a newer HD because it was Bluetooth, or just get a dongle and redo things a little bit. But so far, you know, the cord is not getting in its way. It was for a while, and that was the weird thing, Tom. I had a connector that was just a little bit out of tolerance, and it just didn't plug in and stay plugged in the way it should be. Now I crossed my fingers from last week to now going into the future that some of my problems of the past would be completely gone. Knock on wood.
Picked up a set of radios, FRS radios, last year. They were about the size of a small cigarette lighter. And those worked out good, but they got misplaced somewhere. So I couldn't find where I ordered those on Amazon. So I ordered, the brand is Rativis or something like that. Rativis, R22. So they're on the same frequencies. Only 16 channels as opposed to 22, which is 22 channels is what the other ones were, but only need one channel at a time, so it don't matter.
KDIGMI, K9PGC. There's a hill before you get to 39. I'm climbing like you wouldn't believe right now. Sorry if I would have downshifted. Might have been a little bit better, but, anyway, had to give room for a couple trucks here, and, but look, like I said, we'll get a little more traffic than I expected, going east, that is.
Yeah, I was going to ask Mr. West, are you heading up Johnson Road? If you are, then that's a monster of a climb.
Well, I'm crossing the 39 right now, so I'm right by Pine Lake Cemetery. As I ride by, I got to do a wave to Aunt Shirley and Uncle Mike. But, next crossing will be Johnson Road, and then we'll see about those hills. I probably could just turn on 35 and go south.
Yeah, I got an idea of where you're at. Chesty Trail is right close to you if you're on Pine Lake Drive. The Chesty Trail, and then there's Clear Lake Trail, and then Stone Lake Trail. They're all kind of interlinked together in a somewhat of a way.
Too far south to take advantage of those, but I'll do all right. I'll do all right on that. Because I'll come out here just in a little bit here. I'll come out, you know, Seavers Road and Johnson, you know, where the Family Express is. And like I said, there's the choice. Do I hang a right turn and go down 35, or do I continue on Johnson? You know, the climb on Johnson may not be that bad, but the hill going back to Michigan City is awesome. Going down, that is.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's kind of quite a bit of a workout coming up Johnson Road heading east. I'm trying to picture where you're at. Are you at Seavers and 35?
USL.
So you're heading east down Seavers Road then, or are you heading towards Johnson?
Well, at this point, I'm gonna be stupid and go south on 35. So I just turned off of Seavers. So, well, I'll take this down to 400 and then cut over. And I think that's what I'm gonna do at this point.
Yeah, I'm not sure where 400 is, but if you were to take McClung Road, you'd be able to connect up with Chesty Trail. I can't remember the name of the street that goes between the hotels, but Chesty Trail comes out there on the south side of that one street.
I'm way south of that. That would be out of my way, as I was saying. And 400 that I'll take, that's where the repeater is. And so that's also known as Schultz Road. And a good chunk of that back in the day was my grandma's farm. But the last of that stuff got sold in the early 70s. But stories for another day. But yeah, I'm going past the old golf course right now on 35.
Okay, so are you heading north on 35 then?
On 35, yep. Because I figure it's about a quarter to a 3/8 mile. And I, like I said, I'll turn west on Schultz.
Yeah, I got you. Then you run Schultz Road in, over to 400 in Michigan City then, or no? Schultz Road to Johnson, correct?
Oh, Johnson, yeah. I might go further and pick up Woodland. You know, but we'll see how I feel when I get to that intersection. Hi.
Yeah, maybe perhaps when we go for a ride one of these days, we can connect up with you.
Because I got a regular route. I got a regular route that's got to intersect your travels one way or another. But that. That would work out.
Yeah, and they're going to be paving Small Road, too, so that would be great, because then take Small Road to 500, and 500 come up by the Summit Farm, and quite a bit later, that'll cut out a bit of the elevation, unless you're heading the other direction. The elevation on Johnson Road is before Summit Farm if you're heading east. So that's a bit of a workout.
Yeah, copy that. It's my first hill that I had to climb up. Ugh. But, like I said, when I go, there's one route that I go, I end up on Weller, one way or another, you know. Because I don't have to travel that whole distance on Johnson, I don't. Now, like today, that just made best speed. You know? Otherwise, I would have been going out of my way a little bit, but if I had more time, thinking I was going to catch these guys right at the clock, that would have been something different, you know, but anyway. Yeah, at least I know I'm not losing my mind. I got the text message saying that I didn't group it, somebody else did. And why I'm not on the calling list, I could just leave it alone and just say, well, with their lack of communications with me, they just may lose a member by the end of the year.
Yeah, if you're talking Maple City Cycling Club, I used to go to that too as well. I dropped out because the meetings were, you know, kind of like the radio meeting. It's at a time at night that I really can't get much out of it because I'm running on low fuel.
Well, I've only seen one newsletter says joining in November. You know, I wanted to know what was going on and did a little early joining. Of course, I was on my back. I was hoping to be able to ride, you know. And, you know, I really didn't hear anything for the longest time. But, you know, like any club, no problem cashing a check and then forget where the money came from.
Yeah, well, I got upset one time because we went on a ride and they kind of left me behind, and that wasn't nice, and there should have been at least one person to ride with me. So I ended up breaking away and then coming home.
Mix up we had already, and they failed to let me know that because of one other person they were going to break off following me. So I get down the road a little bit further, and I don't see anybody. Well, I was supposed to be on my way home anyway. And, but you know where the tower is, by the Summit Farm, that was going to be the breakaway point. Well, it happened way sooner, you know. So I just tucked that away for later. Because in this case, you know, I've got the muscle to make it home. But, oh well.
Well, I just think they should have communicated better with each other on that ride, and they shouldn't have left any ride. They shouldn't leave anybody behind. They shouldn't allow somebody to single away from the group, so to speak. So that's what happened. And I wasn't going to try to chase them down. I just broke away and came home.
My younger days, and that was associated with a whole different group, a whole different everything, you know. I took it upon myself to bring up the rear, you know, which always put me at a disadvantage, but you know, I just left it as it is, you know. And when I quit doing that, there was other people upset. And partly upset with me, like, where's John? Yeah, John went somewhere else. And that goes back quite a few years, so it was the Calumet Crank Club and a few other good rides that came out of Valpo back in the day.
Yeah, I kind of think a younger person needs to take over that club because I can't remember the gentleman's name that's in charge of it now, but he's up there in years.
He gave me the wrong information. Texted it to me, but he texted the guy that called me, Tim, and texted him and let him know today the reminder where it's at and so forth, and I'm like, and that's not the text I got, you know. I mean, I can get some things mixed up, but here, it's cast in stone, you know. And, because, see, there I was inquiring. You know, had I not asked any questions, I probably would have ended up at the other place. But I even, tonight, even looked on Facebook, and I'm like, I can't find today's listing. And you know, with the phone app, I got to admit, Facebook is funny.
CMN Network.
Yeah, when there's lack of communication, that's kind of irritating, and that really bothers me.
Well, is somebody not paying attention?
Yeah, an old guy that's supposed to know better texted me the wrong information, so that's what happened. Like they say, anybody over 60, you can't, I ain't gonna go there. But seriously, club president can't give me the right information, so I was actually looking for a four-hour ride out of tonight. Well, that ain't exactly going to happen. You know, I may just go straight home and leave it at that.
Well, I can certainly understand your frustration, John.
If it was some other club member, I can understand. You know. But, you know, like I said, club official, I mean, I've gotten some things wrong in the past and been lucky to the best of my knowledge, make corrections, you know, in my position. But, you know, this is something when everybody else gets a different message, I would have thought somewhere it would have been caught.
Yeah, you certainly would think so. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I don't know, John. Maybe your body will think in the morning.
Yeah, my body curses at me every morning. It takes me 25 minutes to establishing the ability to walk, and I am not exaggerating. It varies from day to day. And I got a 25-minute routine, and then I might be able to do my exercises and that to further improve the situation.
Well, at least I got time in on my stationary this morning. You know, I try to do that every morning.
Yeah, I do have a trainer I can set the bike on. And it got me through some of my rehabilitation. But now I'm too lazy to put the bike back on it on bad days and so forth. Now, like Saturday, I actually got stuck in the rain, but I purposely put myself in that position.
Yeah, we have a look at the weather before we decide to head out in this fall. If the winds are double digits, then we don't do double digits. So we have yet to get on the road, but we're looking forward to it.
Now, just coasting on Schultz Road, I made it up to 32 miles an hour. I should have shoved it into overdrive and give it a little extra oomph, but seriously, there's one particular hill I always do good by. I just hate at the bottom of the hill, there's an intersection, you know. One direction I can see the traffic coming, another, like to my right, not so much. Got a break for that.
Well, when our trikes get above about 15 miles per hour, you can't keep up with it going downhill because of the way it's geared. So you just kind of coast and brake whenever you have to.
Right now in the saddle, I'm averaging 14.7 miles an hour. That's not counting the saddle time I had, you know, in the port, but for 20.7 miles right now, I feel like I've wasted an evening. Hi.
Yeah, that's a pretty good clip going at 14 miles per hour for an average. we couldn't do that on our trikes. They're not geared properly to be able to do that. I mean, if we're 21 speed, best I've gotten out of it in 21 is on a flat run, I think 12 miles per hour.
Okay, copy that. That just that climb on Johnson Road. I was like 15.4, 15.5, something right in there. I took a screenshot of what it took me to at least get to La Porte, you know. And 35 minutes to hit Johnson Road. I mean, 35 there on Johnson Road. So I was doing pretty good. You know, I'm proud of that. That makes up for a lot. I'm going past 630 West, which is a short distance as I look over to my right is what's left of Grandma's house, which I have a relative that's in there. And then I'm going past another house that in the backyard is an aircraft hangar because my Uncle Pete used to use Schultz Road as a landing strip, believe it or not. I think 1974 was the last time he landed anything on Schultz Road.
So you're saying Schultz Road was a landing strip at one time?
No, that was all my grandma's farmland way back. Okay, but there's a point there, no later, it might have been more like 72, 71 or 72, Uncle Pete brought an aircraft in, because he used to use Schultz Road as a landing strip, takeoff strip, and you could get away with it, you know, especially with a Piper Cub. But he brought something in a little bit bigger, parked it in the back. And when he wanted my dad to certify it, my dad said, no, I'm not going to be responsible for your death. Let somebody else sign off on it. And he never flew it out of the hangar that we know of.
Yeah, that would have been interesting to see, but that must have been when houses weren't built yet.
Yeah, what my mom was always asking me is when Pete got... This is all on my mom's side. That was her brother. When he got bounced out of the airport, she keeps on thinking I have the answers. No, I have guesses, so I keep my mouth shut. You know what I mean? But that was something else altogether, you know. And because on both my dad and my mother's side, we got a whole bunch of flyers in the family, I included.
Are you saying you got a pilot's license?
I just have a student's license. Never went any further, but I flew. And there's a little red tape once upon a time. I had to explain to the FAA that who I am. Somehow they got the idea that my dad was flying again. His wings was clipped for diabetes, you know? And yeah, somehow the FAA, somebody dropped a dime on me. That was, I had a little fun with that, regardless, because I got the same name, you know. But I should have taken my dad's license and to show you how old his license is, it says CAA on it. And I just wonder if I could have passed that over the years, you know, as long as they don't look at the issue date.
So are you saying you're a John Jr.?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This coconut didn't fall far from the tree, you know, but, just oddly enough, I'm basically doing the same thing my dad did back in the day, instrumentation and control systems. But he did a lot of that as being his own contractor. I ain't doing that.
Yeah, I took lessons at one time myself too, the Piper Cherokee 140.
copy that. Yeah, when Uncle Pete crashed, ran out of fuel, that was a twin-engine B-150. And he just got into a little bad weather and couldn't find Belleville Airport, so he thought he'd stretch it back to Michigan City. He ended up in running out of fuel into Westville, Cornfield. So he was the reckless one out of the family.
So did he get out of it in one piece?
What was that question, Tom?
Did he survive the crash?
Initially, yeah, he just bled to death. So, one of our local hams called off the search, claiming that radio beacon, that ELT, was not in LaPorte County, and I was out that night. Didn't know I was looking for my uncle. And, that was something that was rather interesting. The self-proclaimed expert. You know, no, that's in Porter County. That was 1985.
Oh, that's too bad that they didn't find him and was able to rescue him.
He was able to throw the ELT out the window. See, they found the aircraft belly up, and if I remember correctly, but anyway, close to the wing is where he threw out, he threw out the ELT, and that's where it was sitting, But he was a bit of a daredevil. That's not the only aircraft he's dropped. Then, in recent years, you saw a yellow high wing, with a banner behind it. That's Cousin Dale. He just passed last year. And, but that particular aircraft was he was really a talented pilot. He was a corporate pilot for GMR Ruby. But that particular aircraft, he had a little more extra oomph under the hood. I don't think the FAA would normally approve of it. That thing was a hot rod.
So he gave it a little bit more horsepower, so to speak, huh?
Yeah, but if you're gonna be dragging a banner, you really want everything, any extra you could have, That same thing goes if you're a crop duster or a bush pilot. Even if you don't use it, you want to have it for just in case. You know what I mean?
Yep, I guess you better have too much too much rather than not enough.
One relative, Herman the Mad German, would call him. And there's pictures to prove it, but this goes way back, like maybe 1970. Anyway, during time trials at MIS Speedway, Michigan International Speedway, brought that single engine on the deck and was facing the cars. Yeah, boy, did he have a story about those banks. Yeah, I can turn straighter than those cars can.
So for the radio that you have on your bike, is it a PTT or is it a Vox?
I'm doing push to talk. I do have Vox, but I just have to find that module. I've used Vox in the past, pretty successful with this headset. But this particular push-to-talk that I built, in one direction the rocker is momentary, the other one is locked in.
Yeah, the new radios have Vox. I think the old radios did too, but I just didn't experiment with it. So I'm going to have to experiment with it and see how that works.
Good noise canceling headset, the Vox is terrible. But I can, with this headset, I can use that in the car, and I can switch the mobile rig to Vox, and it's really slick, you know, and very minimal on the type of falses, you know. But Icon for years had a Vox module, and they had no, if you used it, they had no way of putting it on standby. And I took mine and I gave it its own push to talk, standby, and normal operation. And I just got to figure out what I did with it. I got two of them. Because at a point in time, both the wife and I kind of rode the bike together, you know. And it worked out well. She don't want to get on the radio anymore. So that kills that one, and I might have her back on the bike this summer.
Well, they may be noise-canceling mics. The description says, Chris...
See, there's a few headsets out there that they actually use electronics for noise-canceling and not the mic itself. You can get better audio quality that way, but, it won't like Vox as much as a true noise canceller. And this particular headset was actually meant for a Vertex standard radio. But it was the best that I've messed with over the years. So I just adapted my Icon equipment, Kenwood equipment, stuff like that.
Well, all we can do is give it a try and see how well it works.
A lot of this riding, you know, like right now, I'm going 15 miles an hour and I got a headwind. I don't know how much of the wind you hear, but, you know, it does a well enough job, I think.
Oh, you sound pretty good into the repeater, and I've been talking with you over Echolink, and Echolink is doing good.
Okay. Right now we're at 22 miles an hour. I'm going to get quiet for a moment so you can hear the wind. And now for a side, if I turn my head to the side, this is what you'll hear. That's to the right. And then that one's to the left. And when I turn my head to the sides, I can understand if you get noise.
I couldn't tell any difference when you turn your head. It all sounded the same to me.
That's usually the bigger difference between, you know, between headsets. How much I can turn my head and the wind is still canceled, you know. So I did a lot of this experimenting ages ago to come up with this. And there's probably better stuff out there now, but it's one of those things, it's food for thought to always keep in mind.
Yeah, that's how you just try things out and see what works best, I guess.
Same. Sometimes you have to experiment. See, my original hookup, I used back in the late 80s, it was a throat mic. It was cheap enough, and it did what I wanted it to do, but the problem was, and you'll love this, if I got a little loud, it may make me sound like I was drunk. And I was accused a few times of being drunk, and I'm like, I can't be. I'm on a bicycle right now. No. You're somewhere drinking. You should get off. I had that happen. And one of them did that. He ended up learning different, but he's all gone. It was just, when he realized the mistake, it was one of the bigger laughs I think he's ever had.
Yeah, that's certainly pretty funny.
It was all good in the end, you know. It was a little frustrating because, you know, there's no way to convince. at the moment, you know. But, you know, that was a learning curve because at the speed I was going at, I was talking a little bit louder over the noise, right? It made me sound drunk. She would have recorded it. But we got, we did get a good laugh out of that. And, a few other little odds and ends along the way. Just trying to laugh at, but it was a, that was one of two misunderstandings that just, you had to be there to see how everything was settled. Because it was laughing, because I had the reverse happen with a with another gentleman out of Elpo that I suspect he was drunk. But he just, he got on the radio and started saying some rude things in my direction, and the thing is, he was supposed to be on another repeater. It was perfect timing and how that went. I got a face-to-face apology out of that gentleman, so I won't even close to describe anything. But it's just like, oh, that's a good one. Somehow what he had a rant about fit the cue, so I had.
This is the CMN Network, MI3.
Nothing wrong with having a sense of humor.
But, you know, if I was to have any of an embarrassment moment on the radio, it comes to one of two things. And either I am in the hospital trying to play radio, or the best one of them all, the radio's on Vox, and I'm caught snoring.
Yeah, that definitely is humorous. That reminds me of a story. I used to work for a machine shop, and I used to work midnights. But I had to take care of some personal business. I got off at 7 o'clock, but I had to wait an hour to take care of the personal business because that's when the place opened up. And I got on the phone with them, and they put me on hold. Bad thing to do to a person that just got done working midnights. I woke up with the phone next to my ear and deadline, so I ended up having to call them back and kind of frustrated I had to do that.
Copy that. Well, I just made it into the driveway. There we go, screenshot of that one.
Yeah, good to hear that you made it home. I'm glad I was able to go along on the ride with you.
Oh, it makes it more enjoyable. The talking does slow me down, but honestly, I pay more attention to the road. That's also why I get a little fog in my, you know, thinking, is because I am paying attention to the road and what's around me.
Well, that would be a good thing to do, is pay attention to the road, because people aren't paying attention to you, typically, if you're on the road.
Yeah, I may have to take a short ride a little bit later, put the extra lights on, and try them out. Hi.
Yeah, that would be a good way to try them out.
Yep. Well, for right now, Tom, I'm going to let you run, and I'm going to see about finding a chair or something, and then see how the rest of the evening goes.
All righty, 73 to you, John. You have a wonderful day. 89, you're mine.
73, Tom. 89, you're mine. 89, PGC.
CQ, good evening. This is AC9HO. My name is Kurt, and I will be calling the LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club Net Into Session. I am located just south of the city of LaPorte, near the Kingsbury area, and I will be your net control for this session of LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club. Is there any emergency traffic? If so, please call now. Nothing heard. If there is traffic, If there is an emergency traffic at any time during this net, please jump in by saying emergency, and net control will stop the net and handle the traffic. And to all that are listening, if an emergency is announced, please stop all traffic and let net control handle the emergency. The club call signs are K9JSI and W9LY. Our repeaters are the 146.970, this repeater, W9LY, VHF, FM, analog, and now All-Star connected, and also Echo Leap connected, and also always connected to the DMR Talk Group 31146, the LPC ARC DMR Talk Group on TGIF network. This is located at the tower at Schultz Road and 35 North on the 160-foot concrete tower. Then we have the 146.610 K9JSI VHF FM analog located at the new location at the corner of Johnson Road and 500 West across from the Summit Farm. Last but not least, we have the 441.950 W9LY UHF FM analog C4FM digital and Wires X connected, also located at the tower at Schultz Road and Highway 35 North. And that repeater, if anybody doesn't know, we did a survey to see who would be interested in doing a C4FM repeater on the 6-1, so it was decided at a club meeting to instead turn Wires X off every afternoon on the 441.950 W9LY UHF repeater, and see if we can get some local participation on the C4FM side of that repeater. So feel free to visit that repeater. Even after the net, there could be a, you never know, you might catch somebody on there and do an after net chat on that repeater. So that's our test for now to see if we can get some interest in C4FM. This net meets every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Central Time here on the 146.970 repeater, negative 600 offset with a PL tone of 131.8. We would like to thank the LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club for the use of the repeater at this time. In case of repeater malfunction or disruption, all amateur radio operators are instructed to move to the K9JSI repeater, 146.610, negative offset with a PL tone of 131.8. And await instructions from Net Control. If you would like more information about the club or the repeaters, please visit the website, lpcarc.org. And if you're interested in seeing the check-ins live during the net, then sign in to ham.live. It is a free program that works on your browser. When you sign in, look for LPC ARC Information Net. We use this logger to log the check-ins, and there's a live text chat for everyone to use as well. With the live text chat, it's almost like having two nets at the same time. All we ask is that you check in to the net via the radio, since getting radio active is the point of having the net. Ham.live is a browser-based program for net logging and works on all computers or phones that have a browser. Again, it's free. There is a video on the website to help set up an account. If you need assistance, you can ask on the net. We can try to help. Look forward to seeing you on ham.live. For the check-in portion of the net, I will be asking for club officer check-ins first, followed by short-timer mobile stations. Then we'll go through the ham.live list. After that, I will ask for general check-ins for the remainder of the net. At the end of the net, I will be asking for anybody wishing to sell, trade, donate, or look for any amateur radio-related items on the Swap and Shop session. All licensed amateur radio operators are invited to check into this net. This is a directed net. Please give me your call sign, name, and location when checking in. When I acknowledge each station, I will ask if they have anything for the net. Anything for the net could be any topic or question or the radio antenna you're currently operating, or even just a radio check. If you want to know how you're sounding, I'll give you the most truth I can give you on your signal and try to share the best I can on how you're getting in the repeater. If you wish to make additional comments or connect, I'm having a problem tonight. Let me start that over. If you wish to make additional comments or connect with another check-in during the net, you can do so by saying comment or question with your call sign and wait for net control. A little worried we wouldn't get through that one. Okay, I will now take check-ins from any current club officers. Current club officers, this is AC9HO Net Control. Please call now. All right, we'll get one more call for any current club officers. Current club officers, this is AC9HO Net Control. Please call now. All right, we'll go ahead and move on to mobile or short-time stations. Mobile or short-time stations, please call now.
This is KE9ALK, Eugene Mills, Thomas.
Okay, Thomas, I think I got my bass turned up too high on my receive. Everything sounds bassy today. KE9ALK, Thomas, do you have anything for the net?
Greetings, everyone. Just enjoying the great weather today. And I've been listening to Space Station now and then. And hopefully soon I'll try and talk. But it's been fun. Sometimes I can actually see them flying over there. Other than that, just everyone have a great night. KE9ALK.
Okay, Thomas. Yeah, nothing wrong with listening, for sure. Getting a feel for it, hearing how all the exchanges work. Definitely have a recorder ready when you are ready to transmit, though, because trying to write that down that fast is very hard to do. You record it, then you can listen to it over and over again until you get it right. Thomas, thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. And keep us up to date on that satellite work, how that's working for you, and when you do finally make a contact. All right, any other mobile or short-time stations, please call now. Well, that station didn't quite make it in. I have a feeling, though, I know who it is. Try it again, please. Yeah, that's Serafina. AC9UI. Didn't quite make it in fully that time. I heard AC9. Try it again.
AC9UI. Calling in. Short time.
There you are. We got you now. AC9UI. Serafina, do you have anything for the net? Okay, Serafina, yeah, you cut out there. I did hear no news, and I believe 73. Am I correct?
That is correct. Enjoy the lovely weather. AC9UI, that's next.
All right, you were perfect that time. Thank you very much. You also enjoy the weather, and thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. All right, one more call for mobile or short-time stations, and then we'll go to the ham.live list. Mobile or short-time, AC9HO Net Control, please call now. All right, hearing nothing further there, we'll go to the ham.live list. KD9PBR, Steve, do you have anything for the net?
Nothing for the net tonight, Kurt. I've been good at hearing everybody out here tonight, and I got on first on the list. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you get to turn in early tonight, so good for you. You staying busy out there at the data center, everybody? That's all everybody talks about anymore, is those data centers.
I know. A lot of people don't like them, but what can I do? They gave me a pretty good job, so... I just do my best.
Yep. I'm not a fan either of them coming out right here by me about a mile away, 2 miles, we'll say 2 miles away. But, hey, if it gives somebody a job, especially somebody I know, so be it. It is what it is. And they're coming whether we want them or not. So sooner or later, we're just going to have to accept it or fight them later, you know, whatever it takes. But, good for you, and I hope it's working out for you. Sounds like it is. Steve, thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. Next we have a 9ROM. Bob, do you have anything for the net?
Good evening, Kurt, and thank you for doing the net, and hello to everybody else out there. No, nothing for the net, just enjoying this warmer weather. It finally looks like we're kind of coming out of the woods of that real cold stuff, and probably pretty soon we'll be complaining about the heat. Hi. All right, I'm going to turn it back to you. 73s, we'll catch you later, and talk good with you. N9ROM, back to the net.
All right, Bob, yep, I'm already there. I guess I wasn't complaining, but I was definitely saying, whew, it's hot, when I was also in the sun building a deck. So it's going to get worse, so it was actually a good weekend to build a deck. Got it done. Got the grill on it on Monday, so yeah, so we're good. All right, Bob, well, you enjoy the warm weather. I see your picture there with the car and what is that, Mickey Mouse? That's cool. Thanks for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. All right, that completes the Ham.Live list as I have it currently, so that opens it up to general check-ins. Anybody anywhere, this is AC9HO Net Control. Please call now.
Kilo, Charlie, Zero, Foxtrot, November, Echo, Mike, and Mishawaka.
All right, we got KC0FNE, Mike. Mike, do you have anything for the net?
Unfortunately, no, I have nothing for the net, other than I've been enjoying the weather and trying to clean my ham shack out and get some things done.
Yeah, that's been my goal, too. I started cleaning up the ham shack a little bit. Trying to install the new transverter on this radio, and come to find out, in my limited experience with transverters, it's not a transverter, it's an amplifier, basically, for a transverter. So, you have to have a transverter, which I do, but now I got to see if I can make this transverter that I'm currently using and my flex that I'm currently using all work together. So, we'll see if that can happen, But Mike, I didn't hear if you said, you might have said, that antenna coming along?
Well, there's a little problem with the antenna. Our apartment complex sold, and a new buyer bought it, and that was a year ago. Got a notice in the mail that I have to take all my antennas down. And I have a letter from the board signed by the president of the previous owners that I can have my antennas out here as long as I meet certain criteria, like they have to meet the electrical code for being grounded and lightning arresters and can't be attached to the building, can't be on the roof, you know, all that stuff, which I met, and he was happy. But the new owners don't seem to think that I need my antennas, so I took that letter and gave it to them, and they think maybe they might grandfather me in so I can keep them, but they're not sure yet. So everything is kind of on hold right now.
Oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that. That's a real bummer. And, people that are not into radio, I don't know. They don't understand, and I get it. You know, if it's a nuisance or if it's just gaudy looking, which, you know, I personally think antennas look good depending on how they're done. But not everybody thinks like I do. It'd be nice if they did. It'd make my life better, right? Well, Mike, I'm really sorry to hear that. You're not the only one that has antenna HOA issues. Yours isn't really an HOA, I don't think. It sounds like it's an apartment building, but same concept, really, right?
Yes, it is, and I told them that if they wanted them down because they didn't look good out in front of my apartment, that I could move them behind the apartment and put them there. So I don't know. Waiting to hear back.
Well, Mike, I'm sure if it goes the right way, we will hear about it. You'll be ecstatic and tell us how that antenna project's going, and if it doesn't go the right way for you, I do apologize. It's definitely not fun. But where there's a will, there's a way. But, yeah, running that amplifier might be a problem now, though. That's the only problem. Because you can always hide antennas, but then putting power to them could expose them a little bit by interference issues and whatnot.
Yeah, well, like I said, everything's kind of on standby right now until I hear back what they want me to do. So I guess they say if I can't have the antennas at all, then it's time to start looking for a house to rent, I guess.
There you go. If that's an option, yeah, probably not one you were planning on doing for sure, but if that's an option, good for you. But, well, Mike, keep us posted, and I wish you the best of luck. I'm thinking positive thoughts. They're going to come back after thinking about it and say, you know what, maybe have to move them, but that's okay. You already have a secondary place. So, you know, I wonder if it would be even beneficial to start moving something somewhere else to give them an idea where it could be and out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. Might not be a bad idea to kind of get ahead of it a little bit.
Well, the problem with that is that if I put the antennas on the back side, then I have to swap my bedroom and my office, which is going to be a real pain. I'll do it if I have to, because if I keep the office up front, then that's like an extra, probably 50 feet, probably 75 feet of coax I gotta run, which I really don't
want to
do.
Yep, understand that. Well, I don't blame you then. Just be patient and hope for the best, for sure. Well, good luck to you, Mike. Thank you for checking in, sounding good as usual into the repeater. Have yourself a good evening and good rest of your week, and hopefully get some good news here sooner than later. All right. Any other general check-ins? This is AC9HO Net Control. Anybody?
Net Control and NTSN.
AD9GY.
Kilo Alpha Niner, Delta Lima Mike.
Kilo India, 9 Echo.
N89GY and KA9DLM. N9VSN, Paul, do you have anything for the net?
No, not particularly. Friday's the last day of school. My priest was asking me what I'm going to do for the summer.
Yeah, you cut out as soon as you're getting ready to tell us what the principal was saying to you. So we didn't get to hear that.
Oh, I was trying out my ICOM. I'm having trouble with the other radio that rhymes with Chomaine. Anyway, I don't know if you read my email. I have a new one coming tomorrow. Weird things are happening. I think it's the battery, though. And, yeah, my priest just wanted to know what I was going to do for the summer to stay out of trouble. And I'm open to any suggestions. And I can be a son.
Okay. Your priest. I'm sorry. I thought you said principal. But, so, what kind of weird things are happening? I did see your email. And, yeah, about things are pretty pretty reasonable on the internet there. And the Baofeng Mini is actually a very popular radio, and from what I hear, works very well. I actually got to operate one just before the HamFest, because we purchased a couple of them, four of them actually, to give away at the HamFest. And it worked pretty good. I made a contact on the repeater, of course, from my house, inside the house out here by Kingsbury. So it works pretty good. So hopefully you got the, I think he says you got another UV5R, I believe. But what issues are you having?
Yeah, what was happening, I was trying to log into the NIAA WeatherNet on Monday, and it jumped off the frequency. And on this frequency, and I believe I cut in a QSO between my NIOKA and somebody else, I'm not sure who it was. And then I'm charging the battery, and it's just the red light keeps on blinking, and I don't think it's taking a charge, so I...
Okay, very good. Yeah, I don't have any of those batteries, and you cut out at the end there, so I didn't get to hear everything you said, but you're thinking it's not taking a charge properly, and the light's flashing when it's charging, and I wonder if you searched that on Google, if it would tell you what the flashes mean, why it's flashing when you're on the charger, and you're probably not far off from the issue, so you're thinking that maybe it shut off while you were talking, and then when it turned back on, it put you on the W9LY instead of the N9IAA?
Yeah, that's my hypothesis. But nonetheless, the whole radio comes with the battery and everything, so I figured it's probably cheaper just to buy the whole radio than buying just the battery alone. Like, what do you?
Oh, yeah. For sure. That's the way I would do it. And having a spare radio is not a bad thing anyway, because you may find with the new battery that radio works just fine. And like I said, if you were wanting to get another Baofeng of a different flavor, the Baofeng Mini is a very teeny tiny little radio. And you can get those sometimes in dual packs with two different antennas, a battery pack, a charger, I believe a desktop charger, and programming cable, all that included for like $40 or something like that for two of them. But you can find single ones too for, $20. Comes with extra antenna, sometimes an extra battery. So, yeah, that's an option too. But it doesn't take the same battery as that UV5R, unfortunately, because the radio is actually quite a bit smaller than that UV5R. Alrighty, Paul. Well, thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week, and keep us up to date and keep me up to date if you want on the happenings with that Baofeng. If there's anything I can do to help, just let me know, and I'll squeeze you in. Thanks for checking in, Paul. Have a good evening. Good rest of your week. All right. Next, we have 89GY. Mike, do you have anything for the net?
Hey, Kurt, 89GY here, Mike in Monterey. When somebody says it's hot, I say, nice. I don't mind winter that much either. Tell me if you can hear me. I was having trouble the other night.
Huh? What'd you say? No, I'm just kidding. No, you're coming in just fine. I mean, you got a little bit of static in there with you, but not bad at all.
Okay, this is 50 watts. Monday night, I was having trouble. We were on 610, and I was having trouble getting through. Sometimes it was hit or miss, and I was having trouble like that when I first had my antenna in the attic. And then when I got it on top of the roof, it was better, but occasionally I get this. I don't know if it was atmospheric conditions or whatever, but I got aggravated, and I said, I'll see you later, and I shut it off. So one of these days, we're getting a different antenna up higher and a better... better antenna. All I've got right now is a ground plane with a 19-inch vertical and four radials that are bent down to a 45-degree angle. So it doesn't have much gain.
So anyways, yeah, I feel sorry for that fellow with the, you know, at the apartment with the antennas. I don't know, what's their problem, you know what I mean? Why?
Yeah, that's what I've always said, too. People just mind their own business and move on, you know. It's not hurting anything. I can understand if it is hurting or interfering, of course. But, yeah, people, I think, just like being that way. I don't know. I'm not too picky. I let my neighbors do whatever they want as long as they're not damaging anything of mine. And if they were ham radio operators and they're causing interference, of course I'd work with them, you know, say, hey, there's something going on here. And, make sure that they know, ask them to help and hopefully prove it is them or prove it isn't. If it isn't, great. If it is, okay, let's move forward. I don't understand it either, Mike. But unfortunately we're not going to get away from that anytime soon anyway.
Yeah, I remember back when, you know, CB 30-plus years ago, you would go on, you'd get on the TV if somebody had extra wattage. Even without it, sometimes, if they were close, it could interfere with the TV. Nowadays, you don't get so much of that anymore, with any kind of radio, so I don't know. I mean, I guess you can in certain things, but, it's just aggravating. You know, like I said, yeah, mind your own business. Thanks for doing the net tonight, and good talking to you. See you later. KB9GY.
All right, Mike. Better words have never been said on this net. Mind your own business. I like it. All right, Mike. Have a good evening. Thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. All right, next on the list we have KA9BLM. Keith. That's what I have on my screen. I hope I got the call sign right. Do you have anything for the net?
You are correct, sir. Hold on, there was a key up before. Excellent. I hate to interrupt that lovely voice. How's Mr. Bill? Oh, no! No. Next call, I'm good. Nothing to add to the net this evening. Just happy to be able to check in and do a little bit of playing radio today, because when it comes to priorities, radio takes above everything else. With all that being said, in the words of the late Jerry Springer, take care of yourself and each other. This is KA9BLM. Back to you, Nick.
Okay, Keith, yeah, we all need a little more Jerry Springer, I think. But definitely take care of yourself and everybody else if you can. Do your best anyway. Do your best to be a good human, right? That's all we got to try to do. But, Keith, thank you for checking in. And I call that Digital Bill. Mr. Digital Bill. I should check him in every week because he chimes in. Digital Bill chimes in a few times every net. So, anyway, Keith, have a good night. And good rest of your week. And thanks again for checking in. All right, that completes that list, but I do have a ham.live that just came in a little bit ago. KD9PYT, Rob, do you have anything for the net?
It's Rob Walkerton. No, nothing for the net. Good to hear you, Kurt, and everybody else say hello on a sort of nice day. And back to you, Net Control, KD9PYT.
Okay, Rob, as usual, sounding good in the repeater. Thank you for checking in. You also have a good evening and a good rest of your week, and enjoy that nice weather. I think I got to look at the weather. I don't know if it's supposed to rain. Oh, I did forget to bring that up, too. If it doesn't rain, I might actually drive the car into work for the first time in a long time since last year. But anyway, Rob, thank you for checking in. Have a good evening and good rest of your week. All right, that opens it up to general check-ins. Anybody anywhere, this is AC9HO Net Control. Please call now.
NR9L. Good evening, Kirk, KF9WW.
Kilo India, 9 Echo.
This is N9 OKA, Mike LaPorte.
Okay, that's a pretty good list there. First we have NR9L, KF9WW, KI9E, and N9OKA. NR9L, Ron, do you have anything for the net? I actually got his call sign right tonight for the first time. We'll give him one more chance. NR9L, Ron, do you have anything for the net? Okay, that's okay. Ron, you found a good end of the repeater. If you come back in and want to have anything for the net, just let us know. No problem at all. We got you there as a check-in. Next on the list, we have KF9WW. Mike, do you have anything for the net?
KF9WW, good evening, Kurt, everyone. Nothing of any importance, although I did get my flagpole approved, so that opens up some possibilities. I'll be thinking on what I'm going to do next. Back to net.
Ooh, that opens up the possibility for one of those flagpole antennas, yes?
Possible.
Don't tell anybody. Well, that'd be cool. I think that vertical, flagpole vertical would work very well for you on HF. But congrats on that. And you're kind of going through the same thing KC0FNE is going through, except for his is a new problem for him. But, yeah, he's waiting on some good news. We're hoping we're all going to give him some thoughts and prayers there and hope he gets some good news and doesn't have to change anything. back to you, Mike, if you got any more comments.
No, other than that, that's what I've got. I'll just be listening.
Okay, Mike, very good. Well, thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good... Oh, wait, before I let you go, did you hear back from Yazoo? Did you get that filled out again?
I'm still waiting. Haven't heard anything, but we'll still see.
Yeah, that's the bad part, you know, because we already heard from somebody that, back when he did it, it took a month. So you almost have to wait a month again before, you know. Did you at least get an email acknowledging that you submitted something?
No, negative, nothing.
Oh, boy. That's not very encouraging, because I'm pretty sure I got mine the same evening that I submitted it, almost like a automated reply, you know. It comes in almost immediately after sending. So, you know, give it a little bit longer. I wouldn't wait too much longer to get that reply. I would give it another few days to a week, and then I would probably be calling Yazoo and saying, you know, what's going on here? I've done it twice now. All right, Mike. Well, thank you for checking in. Have a good evening and a good rest of your week. Next, we have KI9E, Jim. Sounds like he's coming through the talk group there. It is a little hot, Jim. You were a little loud. Maybe back away from the radio just a touch. That one seems to be a little more touchy than your Yazoo when you were coming in that way. KI9E, Jim, do you have anything for the net?
Hey, good evening, Curtin, and everyone on the net. This is KI9E. I got a couple things, Kurt. I don't know if you heard KC9MLN, Kilo Charlie 9, Mike Lima in November. I think he tried to check in a little. I don't know if he's still out there. I think he was trying to get into the DMR talk group as well. So you might see if he's still out there, but... And then for Mike, KF9WW, I'd like to refer him over to 05 antennas, 05antennas.com. They make some nice flagpole antennas there. me specifically, you know, for that purpose. They make a nice antenna, good quality. I own one of their 43-foot verticals in the backyard here. That's been up for several years now, doing quite well. Hopefully, I've been having a little fun learning how to program DMR stuff here. Hopefully, I got my hotspot set up okay. And that's about it there, Kurt. KI-90, back to you.
Okay, very good, Jim. Yeah, you're on that new Maverick radio from Bridgecom, correct?
Yes, sir. Correct. I'm on the Bridgecom Maverick HT, which I think is the same as an Anytone D890, I believe.
Okay, very good. Yeah, you could probably, you're not too loud now. I think I'm just hearing everybody bassy tonight. So you know what? I wouldn't change anything yet. I think I need to change something on my end. I just did an update to my Flex, and maybe they changed something that I didn't catch. But no, it's working great for you. I got your comment about KC9MLN. I did not hear anybody else try to check in, so I will definitely give him a shout as soon as we're done here. But, yeah, sounding good, Jim. Working good for you. So now you have it set up for the Valparaiso DMR repeater, which is 442.25, I think. And now your hotspot, correct?
Yep, I've got a couple different zones set up. I've got the K9PC repeater, the 442.50. I've got those DMR talk groups in one zone, and then I put some analog frequencies in another zone, you know, the 6197 and a few others, and then I put the hotspot by itself in another zone. So trying to learn all the new terminology and get familiar with programming. There's a lot to it, but it's kind of fun learning it.
Yeah, some of the really active DMR guys would not agree with the comment I'm about to make, but yeah, there's a lot to DMR. Once you figure it out, it's not too bad. But it's getting over that hill. Once you do that, then it's okay. And then if you keep doing it, if you go too long in between, you might forget. But it won't take you long to pick it back up. But from what I'm hearing on the K9PC repeater, those talk groups, and I have not rechecked to see if they're all static, which means they're all connected all the time. So like the Midwest, which apparently is connected because that's how I get into that repeater with my M1KE. And I'm thinking the Indiana 3118 is also always connected. I'm not sure if the weather one is always connected, and obviously the parrot's not always connected. But I do know at least the Midwest is always connected, so you don't have to really even put that in your zone or in your channels within your zone, so, but it's not going to hurt it to be there either. All right, Jim, well, thank you for checking in. Thanks for checking in through the talk group there. Working good for you, and like I said, everybody sounds bassy to me tonight, but I think it's on my end. It makes sense, right? Have a good evening and good rest of your week, and thanks again for checking in. Next we have N9OKA. Mike, do you have anything for the net?
Yes, I failed to mention that when I logged in, but yeah, I have three articles. I could do them now or later.
Well, let me give KC9MLN a call first, and then we'll come back to you for the articles. How does that sound?
Like a plan.
All right, sounds like you got a plan. All right, KC9MLN, are you still on the talk group, and would you like to check in tonight?
Yes, I'm still here. And Mike, thanks, and can't wait to hear your articles. But, yeah, name's Doug Hobart / Valparaiso. It's a long story. Yeah, just checking in. No traffic. Hold on. Back to the controls.
Okay, Doug, very good. I'm not sure why I didn't hear you the first time you tried, but we got you this time. Thank you for checking in. Sounded good through the DMR talk group there. And for anybody that's, you know, curious, it's the 31146 on the TGIF network. So, sounds good. Thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. All right. Next, we have Mike and 9OK. We're going to go back to Mike. Go ahead, Mike, with your article. I will sit here and listen. AC9HO Net Control.
Okay, got a couple articles here about satellite and moon-based ham radio. Starting now 2 years after Japan landed the first amateur radio station on the moon, ARRIS has announced plans to do the same in cooperation with AMSAT and with help from the U.S. Space Agency, NASA. The Morse code transmitted more than 2 years ago by JS-1 YMG, the lunar ham station of the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, is apparently just the beginning. Attendees at the Ambition forum hosted by ARRIS in Zeni, Ohio, recently learned about a moon-based project called CAVIAR. That's an acronym for Communications, Audio, Video, and Imaging, using amateur radio. The feasibility of CAVIAR is being studied by ARRIS and AMSAT through a partnership known as ARRIX for Amateur Radio Exploration. According to the early information being discussed publicly, the station could have support for voice, digital, and video with 10 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz links supported by a network of stations on Earth. Most more far-reaching goals can be found on the ARRIS website, which describes ARRIX as, quote, an international effort to develop and operate amateur radio systems. Oh, boy. Okay, there we got it now. The quote is an international effort to develop and operate amateur radio systems for deep space, starting at the moon and later to Mars, end quote. And that's also the end of that article. The next one, AMSAT-DL seeks input from satellite enthusiasts. or space imaging, I'm sorry. The workshop's location and the new, I think it's Neuilly-Messier, will be announced as the day gets closer. Meanwhile, AMSAT-DL welcomes everyone with varying levels of experience. All that is required is an interest in amateur radio, satellites, and helping to shape their future.
CMN Network, 220.
And finally, Project Pursues Mysteries of Sporadic E-Skip. Lloyd Van Horn, W4LBH, is a fan of mysteries, and there are perhaps few ham radio mysteries greater than that of the sporadic E-Skip, which makes its appearance on BHF in the Northern Hemisphere every year at about this time. Lloyd is the force behind DX Central, a resource for DXers that does, among many things, data analysis. This month he unveiled CDAP, an acronym for his Sporadic S-Data Analysis Project. It can be found at fmdxdata.com and is free to use by hams. It's free to be used by hams, educators, and anyone with a hobbyist interest in this special season that turns propagation magical in the eyes of many. He writes on the website, swling-post, that he compiled more than 95,000 FM broadcasts and logs from North America to get the data relevant for the project, which goes beyond simple spreadsheets by any interactive visualizations. He writes, CDAP allows us to physically watch ionosphere clouds spawn, compress, and track across the continent to real time. We can finally see what a typical season looks like on a macroscopic level, end quote. He told the Radio World website that he also plans to include amateur radio data from the metrics. He said that will permit analysis of days that had no propagation alongside days with active openings, days on which the maximum usable frequency did not reach the PM broadcast band. My mouth ain't working very well tonight. I hope I did okay there. But if you're interested in satellite, there's a lot of stuff going on now, so that should give you some encouragement. And I hope that I'm still trying to figure out this if this is normal skip they're talking about or a different kind of skip. But at any rate, that's it for my articles tonight. And back to Net Control, N9OKA.
Okay, Mike, very good. Well, thank you for those articles. And yeah, satellite's been active for quite a while and hopefully continues to be. And kind of related to satellite, I'd like to someday do a balloon. Send the balloon up in as close to space as we can get. I think that'd be a lot of fun. It'd be a good club project, I think, one of these days. Anyway, Mike, thank you for the articles. Thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. All right. Well, let's do one more quick call for general check-ins, and then I'll get into the information part of the net as well. This is AC9HO Net Control. Anybody anywhere, please call now.
This is November 9, Yankee Oscar Uniform.
KS9 RLC.
All right, we got N9YLU and KX9RLC, and I figured out why everybody was so bassy sounding. My receive equalizer was turned off. That's why everybody sounded different. All right, N9YLU, Brian, coming through the All-Stars there. Brian, do you have anything for the net?
Thanks, Eric. Good evening to everyone. Not too much. Just hope everybody had a good Memorial weekend and that. And you know, like me, ain't too much. But no, I had fun in that. And went down to Noblesville with some family and cooked on the grill there and ate. And then Monday, me and some friends went over to Potato Creek and I cooked on the grill and we ate. So definitely a fun time. And, yeah, the weather was great for it. I got to Noblesville about just after the race and while they were in Victory Lane. A few minutes after they were in Victory Lane, then it cut loose, the rain did. But at least the grilling and everything was done and the race got over with, so that was a good thing. But other than that, not too much. Just working for the weekend. And from the way it's looking, it looks like we're going to be out at Potato Creek this Saturday. So if anybody wants to, come join us. We'll more than likely be there all day long. So anyways, hope everybody has a good rest of the week and a good weekend. And if we don't see you out at the creek, we'll talk at you on the radio. Back to you, Kurt. This is the 9YOU.
Oh, she is relentless with that air quality alert, that's for sure. Somebody ought to do something about that. Well, I guess I'm that somebody. Anyway, Brian, yes, I had a good Memorial Day weekend as well. I hope everybody else did as well. I worked on a deck all weekend and because, you know, I'm not a builder of any kind, so that kind of work takes me longer. But we got it done, and you could probably drive a truck on it, so. But enjoyed the cookout on Monday. We had burgers, Wagyu burgers, Wagyu hamburger meat, and, of course, brats and hot dogs and salads and all the other fun stuff. So, and maybe, just maybe, I can't promise anything because I got so many projects. My wife decided to do a large area in the yard that we're going to put mulch in, apparently, and it's going to be some sort of path for her to walk through and see her flowers and all that stuff. And I got 3 yards of mulch sitting in my yard, and it don't look like it's going to even make a dent. That's how big it is. But we'll see. But so I'm going to try to. I'm going to try to make a Potato Creek Saturday one of these weekends. So it's on my to-do list. But Brian, thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. And yeah, if anybody's interested in doing some radio stuff this Saturday, Potato Creek sounds like they're going to be there. Keep an eye on their website too, Potato Creek Portable, I believe it is. I don't have it on my screen. .org. I will be announcing that again later. I'm scrolling as I'm talking, but I'll probably miss it. Nope, there it is. PotatoCreekPortable.org. All one word. PotatoCreekPortable.org. All right, next on the list we have KX9RLC. Ryan, do you have anything for the net?
Oh, you got me. Nothing for the net. Just out in the area working tonight. And thanks for running it.
All right, Ryan. Well, you be careful out there. It's been crazy the last few weeks, so. Week-ish. So be safe out there. Thanks for all you do, and Have a good evening, good rest of your week, and thanks again for checking in. All right, that completes the list as I have it. We do have another ham.live. It's KD9WXK. Ryan, do you have anything for the net? Uh-oh, he might have signed in before he got on the radio. KD9WXK. Ryan, do you have anything for the net? All right, no problem. Wait, good evening. He sent a message through the text. I'm SWL tonight. Hope to make it next meeting. All right. Well, I think he's checking in through ham.live. Must not have a radio tonight, maybe. But, all right, Ryan, well, thank you for checking in. Have a good evening, good rest of your week. If you do have a radio and you want to say anything, feel free to jump in anytime there's an opening. So, all right, we'll do one more quick call for general check-ins. This is AC9HO Net Control. Anybody anywhere, please call now.
DLP and BSK.
All right, we got the W9DLP and KB9BSK. Do you guys have anything for the net?
We're heading back home from Albano's, and I was trying to have her a mic, and she said, no, your turn to talk, so I'm driving.
Oh, come on, that's just an excuse. You've talked and drove many, many times.
Yeah, this is KB9DSK. I'm definitely not a mic-shy person. It's just I had other things on my mind, like watching traffic. Anyway, I don't have anything particular for the net. Just figured on going home and having a burrito.
Oh, there you go. I don't think I've ever had their burritos. I get their tacos usually when we go there. And I like their pizza, but it's not my favorite. So I definitely might have to look into the burrito sometime. All right, so I take it since you don't have anything, Dave don't have anything, because we know who the boss is.
Yes, this is one skip, one says, I'm tired of all this whining and crying, so I'll shut up.
Yeah, I think I heard the smack. All right, guys, thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. All right, I'm going to go ahead and get into the information part of the net since we're already, 8:04. But I will be asking for more check-ins here in a little bit. But we're going to go ahead and get started. If anybody has anything they need to say or want to say, feel free to jump in anytime there's an opening. That's what we like to do here. Make sure everybody's heard if they want to be heard. I'm going to let the repeater reset, and then I'll get started with the information. AC9HO Net Control. Area Nets, Aries District 1, serving Lake, Porter, LaPorte, Jasper, Newton, and Benton counties. The Aries District 1 net is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on the N9IAA repeater with a frequency of 146.685 and a PL tone of 173.8. So keep that in mind. If you don't have this repeater programmed in, make sure you get that PL tone right, 173.8. There is also a net for GMRS license stations every third Thursday at 7 p.m. Central on the Valpo 1 repeater, 462.700, positive offset, 141.3 PL tone. And as everybody knows, it seems to have lapsed a little bit here, but storm season is here. Indiana District 1 Skywarn has a weekly Monday night net, Skywarn net, every Monday at 8 p.m. Central Time. This is different from the one I just talked about. This is a Skywarn net on the N9IAA repeater, 146.685, negative 6 offset, or 0.6, PL tone of 173.8. Again, it's the weekly Monday night Skywarn net. It serves Indiana District 1, serving Lake, Porter, LaPorte, Newton, Jasper, and Benton counties. And seeking LaPorte County area ham/storm spotters, the Indiana District 1 Skywarn. Spring is coming, and with that, severe weather. LaPorte County Skywarn weather nets are moving to the N9 IAA repeater 146.685. Indiana District 1 Skywarn will be managing our weather nets and forwarding your reports to the National Weather Service and IWX. A big advantage for LaPorte County is that we'll hear weather reports from the west before they reach our county. This will allow you to better prepare for what may be coming. This move will better serve all of LaPorte County and National Weather Service. If you're looking for a Skywarn class, they have classes coming up. Of course, trained spotters can always phone in their reports to the National Weather Service. Keep your eyes to the sky, and remember, if it doesn't spin, don't call it in. All right, LaPorte County Early Warning Siren Testing Net, the first Saturday of every month on this frequency, 146.970. W9LY repeater beginning at 11 a.m. Please check in with Net Control Operator 30 minutes prior for updated location requirements. The next siren testing net will be June 6th. And, of course, Dave, W9DLP, he is our net control for that, so look for him around 10:30. He'll be listening around that time. Michigan Amateur Radio Club, or MARC, holds a weekly on-the-air net on the K9DEW repeater 147.330, positive offset, 131.8 PL tone. And if the K9DEW repeater is down, the net will be held on the WB9AGX repeater 147.390, positive offset, 131.8 PL tone. Fulton County Skywarn net every Monday at 6 p.m. Central on the K9RCR repeater 442.700, positive offset 131.8 PL tone. We also have the White County Amateur Radio Society Wednesday night net every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern on the KC9PQA repeater 147.255, positive offset 131.8 PL tone. And don't forget, LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club net. This net every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. on this repeater 146.970. This net will be an information net, and everybody is welcome to participate. Club meeting and club news. The LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club meets the second Monday of every month at the LaPorte Seventh-day Adventist Church at 7 p.m. Central Time. The address is 1480 Boyd Boulevard, LaPorte. The next official club meeting will be June 8th. Membership is not required to sit in on a meeting, and meetings are not required to be a member. If you do attend the meeting, though, you are encouraged to stay and learn a few radio tips and tricks during our meeting presentations. We've had solder demonstrations, physical mode demonstrations, as well as remote operation demonstrations, and guest speakers from time to time. So if you have something you would like to share with everybody, almost like a show and tell or a project you're working on or anything, let us know and we'll pick a meeting that's good for you and we'll get you up there. Currently we don't have anything scheduled, so feel free to let us know and we can schedule you in for the June 8th meeting. We'd also like to announce that membership dues can be paid online via the website. Just go to lpcarc.org. On the left side of the homepage, click Club Membership. When the next page appears, fill out the center. I just heard a big boom. Felt it on the floor, too. That was weird. Center of the page, click Membership Form. Fill out the form for our records. You can fill it out, scan it, email it to us, whatever. Then under that, the Pay Online button, click the Pay Online, fill out all the fields. All fields must be filled in for the transaction to work properly. Come to our club breakfast every Thursday. Come to our club breakfast every Thursday, 8 a.m. at Mama T's Diner, 607 Lincoln Way, LaPorte. That's every Thursday. The Sugar Bowl Restaurant, this is why I'm a little confused because I forgot Sugar Bowl Restaurant's closed for the moment. Sugar Bowl Restaurant is in the process of finding a new location. This means the club breakfast, the first Saturday of every month, will be postponed until the new Sugar Bowl location is found. Once that happens, we'll announce it here on the net. EMA is still accepting applications. Just go to the Michigan City Police Station lobby, fill out your application, turn it into Attention Captain Jesse. Again, that's Michigan City EMA accepting applications at the Michigan City Police Station lobby. If you're looking for a good opportunity to hang out with other ham radio operators or looking to learn more about radio and or FOTA, come out to Potato Creek every Saturday, weather permitting, to play radio or just hang out. Starts between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. Eastern, goes until about 3 or 4 p.m. Eastern. For more information about Potato Creek FOTA, get on the 147.330K9DEW repeater to find out the details on upcoming gatherings. Also, get on their website, potatocreekportable.org. Again, that's potatocreekportable.org. They have a link to their Discord, which is active. That's the fastest way to find out when and where they're going to be. Man, I was very unprepared tonight. I didn't realize how unprepared I was. So here we are, July 18th, 2026. We got the second annual Tailgate Ham Fest by the LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club. $5 admission per car for sellers or buyers. Trailers will be an extra fee. Setup will begin at 8 a.m. for vendors. Bring your own table or set up out of the back of your car or truck, however you prefer to do it. Admissions for buyers will start at 10 a.m. Talk-in is 146.610-131.8 DL tone, and this repeater, 146.970-131.8 DL tone, both have a negative offset. The location will be 3354 West Schultz Road, LaPorte, 46350. It's underneath the tower, the big concrete tower on 35 near the toll road. If for more information, visit lpcart.org for updates and more information. Sponsored by the LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club. Again, that's July 18th, 2026. All right, weather at a glance. Tonight, clear with a low around 56, north wind 5 to 10. Thursday, sunny with a high near 75, north wind 5 to 10, with gusts as high as 20. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 51, north wind 5 to 10, becoming southeast after midnight. Friday, sunny with a high near 78, southeast wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming northwest in the afternoon. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 55, north wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming calm. Saturday, sunny with a high near 79. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 53. Sunday, sunny with a high near 77. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 55. Monday, to start your week, mostly sunny with a high near 77. Now see, I can give a good weather report. I'm looking forward to those days. All right, that brings us back to general check-in. Anybody anywhere, this is AC9HO Net Control. Please call now.
CMN Network, MI3.
K88UGB.
All right, we've got K88UGB. Tony, do you have anything for the net?
Well, better late than never. Thanks for doing it, by the way. I need to follow up with you since Sam mentioned. I have been working around here a little bit to restore my cobweb antenna to get it back up in the air. And hopefully, by the end of the week, I'll have it ready. And hopefully over the weekend, we'll get that antenna back where it belongs, up at about, 24 feet or so. It'll be good. Small property, small antenna, but pretty good performance. But good to hear you. Glad I didn't miss the celebration, or at least these festivities. K-8-U-G-B.
See, Tony, there you go. Making me look bad. Of course, that's not hard to do. But I've had a cobweb antenna for probably 5 years now. It's still in the box. I've never even opened the box. And here you are. Yours was up, came down, now it's going back up in the same amount of time. Well, probably less time, actually. Quite a bit less time. So there you go. You have to let me know how that's working for you. And yes, Hamvention, that was a good time. I definitely want to go again. I haven't booked a hotel just yet, but I have looked into it already. So that's probably, I'm going to try to make that a yearly trip for sure. But yeah, I enjoyed it. And I am really impressed with that little rubber antenna that you had on your radio. And I purchased one, I put it on my radio. Believe it or not, I don't know if anybody can hear me from inside where I work, but I can hear the repeater. Not real great, but I can hear it, so I think it would work if I needed it to.
Question?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike, with your question.
I'm curious about this cobweb antenna. What bands does it cover?
6 through 40, but I got mine through MFJ, and they're no longer in business. I'm not sure if anybody else sells a cobweb.
There is someone, I can't remember who it is. And it's too bad, I actually gave one away, and the guy never, like you, like you, Kurt, he never put it together, and now he's in the Navy, but it's a good antenna.
Well, I did read an article about a month ago about a company here in Indiana that has bought all the rights to MFJ products and are manufacturing them, or will be pretty soon anyway. I'd have to look the article back up.
Now, there you go. You need to have that article for next week. I think everybody would be interested in that.
Well, I've read it before. I'll read it again.
Bought. It used to be an armory, and they're using the armory to expand their manufacturing for Kushcraft and High Gain.
Bingo. I'll find that article and read it next week again.
Yeah, there you go. Mike doubled with you a little bit, Tony. Can you? We heard what the last part you said. They got an armory to expand operations. Was there more to that?
Well, I think the name of the company was LTI, and basically that's what they're doing. They actually, I don't know, I guess they bought the building, or maybe they already had the building, and that's actually where they're going to be setting up their manufacturing for High Gain and Kushcraft antennas.
Oh, okay. Is that the only thing they're going to be producing, or are they doing all kinds of the MFJ stuff as well?
They only bought the antenna stuff, according to the former owner. Well, of course he's still the owner. Right? No one's bought a Maritron, and then also too all the other things that they built. As far as we know, no one's doing that. There's a couple of companies, and you may have seen quite a few products at the Hamvention that look like MFJ. And the reason is because those are the things that were private labeled by MFJ. So Intel something anyway has a lot of those products. But the actual MFJ products themselves, the antenna tuners and all that kind of stuff that was MFJ manufactured, no one has picked that up, and neither has anyone picked up a Maritron that we're aware of.
Okay, very good. That's interesting stuff there. I like to hear that. People able to do that, step up and bring a good product back to life, hopefully. At least some of the products. We'll take whatever we can get, right? We're not beggars. Okay, maybe we are, but beggars can't be choosers, right? All right, Mike and Tony, thank you for that information. And Tony, thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. And definitely keep me updated on that cobweb. You're motivating me by bringing it up. Keeps reminding me that I got to do that. I would love to have a horizontal polarized HF antenna to compare to my vertical.
Yeah, and I gave you the wrong numbers. The name of the company is ITU, India Tango Uniform. So look them up. You'll find out where they are. And this should be good. I'm glad to know that High Gain and Kushcraft antennas are going to carry on.
I got to read that article again because I thought they got the rights to all of MFJ products.
Only Chris Kraft and High Game. They doubled with you. Yeah, only Chris Kraft and High Game.
Yeah, I'm seeing Chris Kraft and High Game here in the article, but the article I read about a month ago, I thought they had gotten the rights to all of MFJ's products, but I'll have to do some more studying here. N9OKA.
Okay, very good. Mike, you got some homework for next week. Have that all figured out and let us know. And I'm sure it's going to update as time goes on. You never know. All right. We will also open Swamp and Shop. Are there any stations with amateur radio-related items for sale? One in Lone Borrow. Swamp and Shop session is now open. Please call now.
I'll throw something out that I will have for sale.
And for the rest of the net, I will now call for general check-ins. Anybody anywhere? Comments, questions, anything at all, including Swamp and Shop, anything you have. The floor is open. Please call now. This is AC9HO Net Control.
AUTV.
Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, I'm going to have something here in the very near future. I just got new tubes for it. And a Marathon, figure that out, right? And a Marathon AL811H. I'll be getting the tubes in it, and but it's going to be available real soon, and it's going to be available at a nice price, especially if you're a club member. Anyway, a Marathon AL811H, it runs 4811A tubes, and I've got brand new ones to go in it, and it should be up and running next week, and ready for somebody else to take it home.
All right, very good. So, are you wanting to give out an email or anything now, or do you want to wait until it's up and running?
Here we go. All my contact information, phone number, and email is good on QRZ. That's probably the best thing to do to reach me there. But it is TonyField59@hotmail.com.
Go
ahead, Mike.
A quick paragraph to Tony here. The company that he's talking about is ITU, and ITU, which has its company headquarters in Duggar, Indiana, has also purchased MFJ's designs, tooling, specialized equipment, manufacturing and marketing rights for use in the Winton location. The company plans to move all manufacturing operations there from Mississippi, which is where it originated. MFJ originated in Mississippi. A transition is expected to take about 2 months. So that's what I was going by when I thought that they had picked up all of MFJ's equipment. What do you think, Tony?
Well, real quick, because I don't want to take up the time of the net, but what I read on the ITU website at their Lincoln facility was they're going to be making high-gain and Chris Kraft antennas. Doesn't mean that they're not going to be doing the other stuff, because this company has the ability to, well, they know how to manufacture.
Okay, yeah, well, you shouldn't always assume. I guess I was assuming from what I read. N9OKA, back to net control.
All right, very good. Does anybody have any questions for Tony on the AL811H with the four brand new 811A tubes?
Late check-in, Alpha Charlie 9, X-ray November.
All right, we got Mr. George there, AC9XN. George, do you have anything for the net?
Very good evening to you, Kurt, and everyone on the net. I heard a conversation as I turned on the radio. My understanding is they're going to manufacture antennas. I didn't hear anything about amplifiers. I didn't read anything about tuners. I didn't read anything about meters. I only read about antennas. Over.
Okay, very good. Well, we do have time here, so we'll wait and see. Hopefully more will be produced. You never know. Got to start somewhere. Starting with the antennas might be the easiest thing to do. All right, George, well, thank you for that. And thank you for checking in, enjoying that evening out there, I hope. Have a good evening and a good rest of your week. And if you got anything else you want to add, feel free to jump in at any time. We're going to be wrapping this thing up here pretty soon, but we'll be out here for a little while longer. Again, Swap and Shop, comments, questions, general check-ins, anything at all, please call now.
Romy Kilo from Clifty Falls State Park.
Comment.
State Park Station. I think I know who it is, but I didn't get your whole call because you cut in and out there. Maybe it sounds like you're coming through either All-Star or the DMR Talk Group. Maybe there was a internet hiccup during your transmission there. Try that again, please.
Good chance that I'm in and out. Yeah, Whiskey 9, Papa, Romeo, Kilo. I'm down in Madison at Clifty Falls State Park.
All right, Rob, I thought that was you. I didn't want to speculate too much, but I had a feeling that was you. Clifford Falls State Park, where is that?
Clifty. Like a cliff. Clifty Falls State Park. It's Madison, Indiana, southeast Indiana.
Okay, very good. I have to wait for all these darn announcements, man. They're nonstop. You're probably not hearing them on your end, but but Clifty, yeah, I was thinking Clifford the Big Red Dog, but but Rob, yeah, thanks for checking in from the park there. Hope you're having a good evening. Sounds like you picked a great week / weekend to do some camping. So hopefully the weather's down there is just as good as it is up here. So do you have anything else for the net there, Rob?
Well, it has rained every single day. We've been here since Friday. A few different parks. Been out hopping around doing parks on the air at about 15, 20 different parks. Got a few more to go. And yeah, it's rained every single day. Everything's soaked. Just kind of getting used to it at this point. And not much for the net. I just clicked in to see what was happening. I heard buy, sell, or trade stuff. As everyone knows, I make NFET half-wave, so if anyone wants one, feel free.
Sorry, I'm writing that down. I did not know that. NFET half-wave antennas. What is your best contact, other than the radio, of course, email, or whatever you're willing to give online? If you're good on QRZ, that's all you need to say.
I am good on QRZ, and yeah, you can definitely find me on the radio. I'm normally around every evening.
Okay, very good. I have to ask, how are you getting into the system here? Are you All-Star, DMR, and what radio are you using? Sounds very, very good.
I am running an All-Star note, and it's a Yaesu FT-70D handheld with a speed pipe.
Okay, there you go. That explains it. All-Star sounds really good. I'm a big fan of All-Star, so awesome. Does anybody have any questions for Rob on his NFED half-waves that he makes? Okay, Rob. Well, you know, you could send me an email with your information, and I could announce it on the net every week if you'd like. I don't know if you want that much business. Well, I'm not saying you're going to get a lot of business. I'm just saying it could increase a little bit, maybe one or two. But I could announce it on the net if you like.
you're welcome to do that. I got to order a new printer, so I'm going to be down for a few weeks, and I've got enough sitting around to build still. And I got a new printer in, and I'll make a whole bunch more up. I sold quite a bit out at Dayton Hamfest, so that was pretty nice.
Awesome. Glad to hear that they're selling. So, yeah, if you could email me, I'm good on QRZ as well, Alpha Charlie 9 Hotel Oscar. Or, if you can remember or write it down, it's Kurt, C-U-R-T, no K. It's a C-U-R-T, Charlie Uniform Romeo Tango, at ac9ho.com. So, Kurt at ac9ho.com. Shoot me an email with a real quick description or something. I'll add it to my preamble, and we can help you out there and also kind of, you know, help me out on deciding if I need one or not.
Question?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike, with your question.
Yeah, Rob, do you make these cobweb antennas?
I haven't got into that, but I do plan on trying to figure out how to make a portable one soon.
I'm interested in a cobweb antenna.
Well, yeah, those are, they're fun. They're typically 20 and down, well, 20 and up, if worth that right. I do make a two-element 20-meter, 20-through-6 portable beam.
No, I don't have anything to handle a beam.
Well, you'd
yeah, then you'd have to go out there and rotate it by hand everywhere you want to point it. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen a cobweb, Mike, which you got the space for it, but it's, I think mine is 17 foot. It kind of looks like the old laundry, when you hang your clothes outside, the old laundry clotheslines that were like octagon shaped. That's kind of what the cobweb antenna looks like.
Okay. Yeah, that's going back a long way there. But, well, I'm not happy with my vertical HF vertical, so I want to get a different HF antenna.
Oh yeah, I can understand that. But I thought the only problem with that vertical was 80 meters, and you're not going to get that out of a cobweb.
Ground-mounted 417 foot radials. I've worked multiple countries off of it.
Yeah, it was kind of a pile up there, but, I can't get 80 meter off of this, Moonraker vertical I have, but the bands that will tune, they don't perform very well, so I'm giving up on that antenna.
Sorry, Rob, I might have doubled with you there if you want to repeat what you said. They probably heard you, but they heard me too.
Yeah, he said there was quite a pile up. I do make a vertical as well. It's a 40-through-6 with a tuner. You have to have a tuner with that one. But it's about 25 feet tall and 4 17-foot ground radials. It'll do 40-through-6 and I've worked the world with it.
How much?
Let me make one again, and I'll get you an exact price. I've only made a couple of them. And, let me figure out what it costs exactly on material cost first, and then, we'll go from there. But it won't be much more than, probably right around 60, 75 bucks, something like that.
Okay, yeah, I'm interested. I'm not all that cool on 80 meter anymore. I didn't stop until I got 80 meter where it would tune up, but then I don't even talk on
Okay, Rob, let me see if I have it. All right, Rob, yeah, send me anything that you want me to advertise at any time, and I can do that for you, help you out a little bit. I'm a little bit curious about that vertical as well. You can't beat that price, Mike. I mean, a vertical that'll do 40 up to 6, that's a pretty good price for under $100. So I would jump on that if I were you. But I assume that comes with all the radials and everything there, Rob?
Yes, sir. You just got to figure out how to get it up in the air. It's all wire. So, mind you, everything I do is portable. Not much of anything is for a permanent setup. But, I mean, we can make it permanent if we had to.
Well, even if it's PVC piping, I want something that's permanent.
Something like that, but keep that in mind, Mike, too. You're wanting something that's going to stay out there year-round. I'm sure for the right price and the right materials, it could definitely be done. So, all right, Rob, well, thank you for that. Do you have anything else for the net before we move on?
That'll do. I think I took up enough of your time. We'll let you get back at it.
No problem at all. I'm here for all you guys, so it's your time. Thank you for checking in. I hate to hear that it's been raining the whole time. That's exhausting. Hopefully you'll get some reprieve here soon and end on a good note. So sounds like you're still enjoying yourself. So have a good rest of the evening and a good rest of your week, and thank you for checking in. And drive safe on your way back or anywhere else you're going. All right, again, swap and shop, general check-ins, anything at all. This is AC9HO Net Control. Please call now.
WB9W checking in.
All right, we got Mr. Pete in there over in the Chicagoland area. WB9W. Pete, do you have anything for the net?
I don't know if the repeater... Is there like something else, like two repeaters on the same frequency here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's one over there in Illinois that you can probably hear better than us.
No, it's not the Illinois repeater. That would knock you out completely. I wouldn't be able to hear you guys. But it's not busy tonight. Oh, I wanted to ask you, you know, a few weeks ago there was a fellow on the net here selling that FT991A... I wonder if he ever sold it, and I didn't write down his call, or I did, but I don't have it anymore. He recalled who that was, and if he ever sold that.
Yeah, that was Hayden, KD9HAY, and I'm not sure if he sold it or if he found a use for it, because he recently bought a camper. And I think he might have put it in there, but KD9HAY.
Hotel Delta 9, Hotel Alpha Yankee, Hayden, right? Okay, I got it, over.
All right, there you go. Yeah, he's a good guy. Just reach out to him, and he'll let you know what he's got planned there. I can't remember if he's selling that still, or if he has sold it, or if he's using it. So, I would imagine he's good on QRZ, and get his email that way. If I searched for it, I'm sure I could find it, too. But that was the guy.
Okay, you've got a good memory. All right, thank you very much, Kurt. Nothing else going on here. I just mentioned there were some hamfests coming up on our other net here. You guys probably know about that Auburn hamfest in July. That should be a good one there, over.
Actually, I have not put that on my list. If you want to go ahead and announce it, go right ahead.
Well, that's coming up on Saturday, July the 18th in Auburn. It's at the Auburn Core Duesenberg Museum, and it's a free ham fest. So it's a real good deal. I guess they have raffle tickets that they'd like to sell. And it's an indoor and outdoor ham fest, and you get to see the museum, the free admission to the museum, and, of course, you got a free ham fest, like I said, indoors and outdoors. And they got a website.
www.w9oscaruniform.org, w9ou.org, for their Hamfest, Saturday, July 18th, over.
Oh, okay. That's the one I heard about. I did hear about that one, because that's on the same day as our tailgate Hamfest that we're having, tailgate swap meet, that we're having at our tower site. So, yeah, a little bit of competition there for sure.
Oh, well, guess what, Mike? I don't think I'm going to be going to Auburn. I think I'm going to be going to your guys' Hamfest. And I hear there was something else going on at that same location. There was some other type of electronic fest going on. It was like the Antique Radio Association or something over there at the tower site there, over.
Yep. I got to get the details on that, which I'll get here at the next club meeting. Danny Sheets would be putting that on. I don't think it's the same weekend. I want to say it might be the following weekend, but I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But yes, there will be a third event there. So, and it's I think he might even have some classic cars coming as like a little car show. But don't quote me on that. I will get that information. I will have it for next week. Next week is our meeting. Is next? No. I will have it very soon. Let's just say that.
Is that going to be on your club website, too?
Yep. As soon as I have it, I'll let the webmaster know, and then he'll let it on there for us.
Okay. Roger that. Looking forward to all that. All right, 7-3. We ran into Dan a few weeks ago. He was up here at, he did meet that Hamfest, I believe, out in the one we had in May here in DeKalb. So, okay, 7-3. Have a good evening, and we'll be monitoring. This is WB9W, and we're up and clear. Thank you, Kurt. Bye.
All right, Pete. Thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. All right. Do another call. Swap and Shop is open. Comments, questions, general check-ins, anything at all, please call now.
MI3 Network.
Hamfest in Hudsonville.
Ah, do tell.
June the 6th, the IRA, the Independent Repeater Association, it's a wide-handed repeater that puts it on. And I haven't been there. I'm hoping to go this year, and I haven't been in years, but it's been one of those hand fests that, okay, like LaPorte, you know, we always used to go. And so I got reminded recently, and it takes place, where's it at here? Oh, here we go. The Hudsonville Fairgrounds used to be at an armory. Well, now it's at the Hudsonville Fairgrounds in Hudson, in Park Avenue in Hudsonville. You can look it up on the website. They have everything on there as well. And so they have, they got campsites available. Look at that. And the hand fest starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, I think, or is it earlier than that? Anyhow, I'm going to get the details, so, next week when we have the net, I hope to be on here, and we'll bring more details. But it's Hudsonville, that's up a little bit east or west of Grand Rapids, so it's a couple of hours up the highway, but it's a good one.
All right, there you go. June 6th, Hudsonville Fairgrounds. They do have campsites for anybody interested in doing that. All right, Tony, look forward to that information for next week's net, and we can go ahead and put that out there as well. Let's see, anybody else? Comments, questions, Swap and Shop, general check-ins, anything at all, please call now.
Question. Charlie 9 X-ray November. Question for Tony, K8AUTP. Are you going to have any table at the Hudsonville Hamfest, over?
No, so unfortunately, I have a lot of stuff, but it's none of it's ready to go on the table yet, over.
Okay, thank you for the update. Alpha Charlie 9 X-ray November, back to net control.
All right, very good, George. Thanks for jumping in there. All right, anybody else? Comments, questions, general check-ins, anybody, anywhere? Swap and shop. This is AC9HO Net Control. Please call now. All righty. Well, I think I'm going to go ahead and call it. I did get a phone call from my dad, which is unusual. He usually doesn't call this late, so I'm going to go ahead and call it. This concludes this session of LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club Net. I would like to thank all the amateur radio operators that checked into the net this evening. We had a total of 24 check-ins. That's awesome. Thanks everybody for checking in. I will now return the repeater back to normal general amateur use. This is Kurt, AC9HO, clear at 8:50 p.m. Central Time, 73, and have a good evening, everybody.
Sound 3, Kurt, calculator, W9DLPS, sent you a text.
Oh, yep, I see it. Oh, you got dirt pellets on there.
Oh, those little black things?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't do dirt pellets.
I'm sure they can hold, not put them on. That whole tortilla down the middle of it is so full of meat, onions, and rice.
Yeah, yeah, it looks tasty. I'll have to check that out next time we go there for sure. All right, Dave, I'm going to jump off here. Got to make a phone call, find out what's going on here. Hopefully it's nothing important. 73, AC9HO.
Hi, Dave.
Hello, Cody. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. And now I do a little bit better. I have one less question. Or one less concern. You do exist.
Occasionally, I
got to
get on here more.
Yeah, that's how we call it once in a while. If I called it tonight, I'd got an answer. But anyway, hope you and Barbara Sue is doing well.
Not bad. I got a special food in my attic. A couple of little things popping up. No,
we're
all things considered, we're doing good.
JAGB,
M9OKA.
Yeah, coming over.
Roger. Well, I want to talk to the moon. How much... What size linear do I need? What size amp? I want to talk to the moon.
Well, if you're on 10.2 gigahertz, you won't need too much power at all.
I don't know if I have a radio that'll do that.
Many people do. So, yeah, and you know, your antennas work, and they work pretty good. Just propagation is not always good. At the time of day that you're on, that's the problem.
Well, you can have the antenna if you want it.
Well, you know, you and I talked, it did good on 40 and 20 meters. And eight, well, it even worse on 80, but your wider antenna is always going to kick butt over that antenna on 80 meters.
I think since we last talked, water has got inside that antenna. I'm getting a higher standing wave off of it now.
What, on your wire antenna?
No, that moon ranker. The moon ranker vertical.
Yeah. We know that the water and feed line and feed points and radio, none of that gets along very well. Dave knows all about that, especially with hardline.
I kind of sort of want to give that cobweb antenna a try.
I don't know anybody besides MFJ that made one that went to 4. So, when, you know, somebody makes, so it's 22.6. No, mine does 40, 30, 20, 17, 15, 15, 12. 10 and 6.
What was
and since it wasn't a cush craft or a high gain, unless somebody else decides to pick up. Now, I know there was another manufacturer, and I'm trying to think of who it was at Hamvention, that offered one. But it wasn't as, I would say this, it wasn't as robust as the MFK version, and I don't think theirs did 40 meters. It was 20 meters and up.
Well, I found Dave Carpenter's phone number. I'm going to give him a call tomorrow and see if they're going to pick up any more antennas from MFJ or not.
Yeah, I don't know. Who's Dave Carpenter?
Well, he's the president. President and senior engineer of ITU Corporation.
Oh, you have friends in high places, is that what you're telling me?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, thanks to DuckDuckGo, I have friends in high places, buddy.
So the article that was published online said they have all rights and privileges to iGain and Kushtrap. It started out saying MFT products, but it actually specifies it. Here's the article. From finance on Yahoo, yeah, on the Yahoo website, and where'd it go? I just had it on here. There it is. Let me click on it because I forgot how to click.
You're wrong, Tony.
Well, I wouldn't be wrong. It would be false advertising.
You're wrong. Yeah, I read it. The article I read, it's, you can assume if you want. They give me some elbow room there to assume, but I think that's all that's specifically talked about was the two antennas.
Yep, Wabash, see, this is on Wabash must be in Indiana. Anyway, and it actually spells it out, what they're doing. It says, the ITU Corporation, I'm thrilled to pass the torch to these legendary antenna brands. And it talks about Dave and Candy Carpenter, their team at ITU Corporation with Martin F. U., president of FJ. ITU Corporation said the high gain and crisp band antennas, rotors, and accessories are gold and standard, and that they have purchased all the rights everything. So for high gain and crisp. So that is it's in quotation marks from Dave Carpenter.
Yeah, I read this article about a month ago out here on the net, and people weren't paying attention. They don't remember I read the article.
That would be actually when it took place, because the deal went through in the second week of April. Anyway, it went through. it showed up several places. It showed up on QRZ. Showed up. Of course, that was a reprint. It showed up on this publication in Warsaw, or Wabash. Wabash must be down by Terre Haute, down by Linton, Indiana. It showed up on those places.
Yeah, I did a DuckDuckGo search of ITU Corporation. I also threw in customer service number. I want to give them a call.
I'd be interested to find out. Obviously this is fresh. I wonder what their timeline is for production. Is it 2 months or is it just sometime this year?
I read 2 months. They're working on that army base, and they said they should be up and going in about 2 months.
Would it seem to bought the rights, perhaps they bought all the manufacturing equipment too, and so, you know, now they have a place to house it. That'll be cool. KDHUTV.
Yeah, again, it says 19U, which has its company headquarters in Duggar, Indiana, has also purchased MMJ's designs, tooling, specialized equipment, manufacturing, and marketing rights for use in the Winton location. The company plans to move all manufacturing operations there from Mississippi, a transition that's expected to take about 2 months.
I see your article is missing the important pieces. Because Jews, so they say, you know, exactly what you said about manufacturing marketing rights for high gain and Kustat antennas and rotors. And of course, Jude, the former owner of the MFK product, basically said the same thing. He said, you know, basically, that's antennas. That's what they're going to make.
Well, that was the last paragraph of the article. The first paragraph probably tells it all here. It says production of the high gain and Cushcraft antennas and antenna products popularized by MFJ Enterprises will be going forward under new ownership and then a new home in Winton, Indiana.
Good deal. I love it. That means the American dream lives on. That's if you're a hand, right?
Oh, hell. I've got an SWR power meter from MFJ. I don't think I got anything else from them.
I have a few things here and there. I've had a lot of equipment from them. Microphone switches, TNCs, antenna tuners. The first high-power antenna tuners I had with roller inductor was the MFJ. Yeah, had a lot of good, and you know, I never had any trouble with this stuff.
I never did either, but what do you make of this? Production of the high-gain and Cushcraft antennas and antenna products popularized by MFJ Enterprises will be going forward under new ownership.
The clue is the trade name High Gain and Cushcraft antenna and antenna products. That means they're also going to manufacture rotors, which is a good thing because there aren't too many rotor manufacturers out there today.
Okay. Well, a tuner can be an antenna product as well, but we'll see.
Yeah, but Cushcraft and High Gain never built any of that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm following you now then. Okay. I got the number. I'm gonna give them a call. I'm gonna pick their brain. I'll put enough stuff together to have a little article next week or on the net then.
Oh, yep. Give them a call and give and you know have your questions ready and be the journalist. You know, get all the information.
Yeah, last month I couldn't even spell journalist. Now I are one. I don't know if I delivered that good enough tonight or not, but I'm interested in making contact with the moon. After that, they're shooting for Mars. CQ, Mars.
It's an interesting time we live in. The United States has lost astronauts. China's lost astronauts. Russia's had some astronauts, pretty much continually up at the space station. But China just launched their first manned mission.
Yeah, this article I read tonight was dealing with Japan. They've got a satellite sitting on the moon, or they got a space station on the moon, one or the other.
I think I'm going to go raid the refrigerator.
Because, you know, the moon doesn't rotate, so it's always facing us. So you could have, not necessarily a satellite, well, I guess you could call it a satellite, but it would be moon-based satellite.
I said lunar floor.
Of course, you might remember 1999, the moon base Alpha.
I was looking at Aries' homepage, and they're directing this toward kids. They're just wanting to get kids involved in talking to their moon station. Well, I think I'm going to go raise a refrigerator.
Well, I'll let you go in there. Good to talk to you, but I just had to go look at it, and apparently there are a handful of active moon-based satellites orbiting the moon. Yeah, I didn't know that. makes me wonder. Of course, they say they did it so that when the spacecraft go up there, they have fewer blackouts when they go to the dark side of the moon. Anyhow, hey, go find something good to eat. We'll see you later. KAUGB.
Okay, Tony, I read two articles on that tonight on the net. Eris was one of them, and the other one is what we're getting involved in. But, okay, I'll catch you later, Tony. KAUGB and 90KA clear. Gone.
You'll be back.
Is that a threat?
CMN Network. This is the CMN Network, MI3. CMN Network, 220.